Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will meet with us as we are gathered together. Those that are visiting as well, let me extend to you a warm word of welcome, and we do thank you for coming. And to our online audience as well, wherever you are, may the Lord bless you and even speak to you through his word today. Can we remind you of our final drive-in gospel meeting this afternoon as we bring the gospel mission to a close? And that meeting at 3:30 will be in the car park. And let me extend to each one a warm invitation to come along to that service. We do thank the Lord for the week of gospel mission that we have had. Thank the Lord for his presence. We thank the Lord for each one that has been gathered in under the sound of God's precious word night by night. And the gospel has certainly been preached. We praise the Lord for that. And we do pray that the Lord will yet even prosper the preaching. We do rejoice. He's promised his word does not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that for which it is sent forth. And we do therefore continue to pray that the Lord will bless. But do remember the service this afternoon, 3:30, and do make that effort. Continue to invite and encourage family and friends to come to that service as well. We don't have an evening service. You're free, whether you wish to attend other of our congregations in the area. I know the Reverend Derek Irwin's in Auchnacloy, the Reverend Mercer will be in Omagh. If you wish to go along to any of those services, you're welcome to do so. Then tomorrow night at 7 p.m, we are recommencing the children's meeting, and we do pray that the Lord will bless even that work as it recommences here in the church building. The bus will be going around the area as well at the normal time, and it's been encouraging already some of the children that we only reached and met for the first time at the Holiday Bible Club. We've had at least three already that have said they want to come, and their parents are wanting to send them. So we do praise the Lord for this, and we're looking even for more children from the area to be brought in Monday night by Monday night. Our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting then, it will be on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. We'll be returning to our studies in the book of 1 Peter, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. And let me just encourage you, young and old alike, let's be making the effort to be in God's house, not only in the Sunday morning, Sunday evenings, but in the prayer meeting night. Just because the mission comes to an end doesn't mean we stop praying. We need to continue to pray. We need to even pray more and more that that word that has been preached will be used of the Lord in the days that lie ahead. So do make that effort. Every Wednesday you can be here. Come and pray and come and study God's word even with us. Friday night there will be an online presbytery meeting for the members of session, and the details will be sent out as they come in. And then next Sunday the services at the normal times, beginning with the Sunday school in the morning at 10:30, and then the normal times of service resuming 11:30, 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both services. And next Sunday after the morning service we will be observing the table, the Lord's table, and there'll also be one new member coming in next Sunday, and we do thank the Lord for that. So do remember the table, the Lord's table next Sunday for those that are saved immediately after the morning service. Then just to add to our prayer requests that we have been mentioned to you, and do continue, of course, to remember Dr. Wilson and the Reverend Fitzsimons, the Reverend McLeod, Reverend Goods is at home. Continue to make slow progress, but pray that the Lord will yet strengthen him. But we also got word during the week that the Reverend David Smith is in hospital as well. And we do encourage you to pray for God's servant, that he will be touched and raised up to full strength at this time. Certainly the Lord is the only one that can touch and strengthen the body. And may it be the case that each of God's servants are raised up once again back into the work of the Lord even soon. 351 is our opening hymn this morning. 351, a wonderful old hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. May that be the prayer, may that be the reality for each one of us today, that we can say, it is well with our soul. 351. Thank you. Let's stand as we sing.
Oh,
Amen. That cleans out the rafters anyway. A wonderful hymn. Wonderful words. Wonderful when you can sing them, knowing that it is well with your soul. Let's have a moment's prayer, please. Let each and every one of us be looking to the Lord for his blessing and for his help today. Let us pray. Father, in heaven we bow before thee. And O God, we do come before thee this morning with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice in our Savior. We do rejoice, O God, in salvation. We thank and praise thee for the cross work of Jesus Christ. We thank and praise thee, O God, that he set his faces at Flint to Jerusalem. And he went and he laid down his life for his people. We thank and praise thee, O God, for the precious shedding of his blood. We do rejoice at that blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanseth us from all sin. We thank and praise thee this day, O God, that each and every one that has come to Christ in repentance and faith can say with that blessed assurance that it is well with my soul. And O God, we do pray that thou wilt bless this day. We thank thee for the return of thy day. We thank thee, O God, for the importance of it. We thank thee, O God, for the teaching of it. That on the first day of the week, our Lord and Savior rose from the dead. He now lives in the power of an endless life. He will never die again. And because our Savior will never die, then we who are saved will live in Christ forever. We thank and praise thee for this glorious truth. We thank and praise thee, O God, that death doesn't hold a sting to us today. And grave will never have a victory over us. For we who are in Christ are victorious through him. Lord, we do come to thee rejoicing. We want to thank and praise thee for this week of gospel mission that we have had. We thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for the power of God night by night. Even there in the preaching of the gospel. We thank thee, O God, for each one that has come under the sound of thy word, whether it be in the car park or even in their homes round about. We thank and praise thee, O God, that salvation, O God, is of thee. We thank and praise thee this day that thou art still saving souls. Lord, even in our final meeting this afternoon, that more precious souls will be saved. We look around our land and we thank thee for the mercy drops. We hear of the gospel missions that have been taking place, souls that have been saved. And O Father in heaven, we pray that salvation will come to this mission, that salvation will come to this area, that souls for whom Christ died will be brought into the family of God. Lord, even now in this morning service, speak to a heart. Speak to an individual, O God, whether it be here in the building or listening online. Lord, awaken them to their need of salvation. Awaken them to their need of their sins being dealt with, and their sins being washed in the precious blood of Christ. O Father, hear and answer prayer. We thank thee for all of the efforts right across our land in these days. We thank thee, O God, for the outreach that was conducted, even at the Balmoral Show. Lord, we do rejoice in it. We thank thee, O God, for each faithful witness that was there. Lord, both to consider Christ and others that were gathered as well. The literature that was handed out. Lord, the conversations that were had. O Father, we pray that thou wilt bless it. We think of those efforts that were made yesterday in Oman. The thousands of leaflets and tracts distributed. The gospel being preached in the town. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless and use that. Lord, we pray that in these days, that all of these efforts that are being made in the gospel, Lord, that thou wilt use them, that thou wilt see fit to bless them, Lord, that thou wilt save precious souls. Lord, remember this work here in this congregation. We thank thee for the Sabbath school this morning. We thank thee again for help given to thy servants. Bless the word that has been presented. Bless the word to each child. Lord, save their precious souls. We do look to thee, O God, even for the recommencement of this children's meeting tomorrow night. Bless it, we pray thee. Lord, bring in children, bring in many children from this area. Bring them in safety, O God, whether it be in car or on the bus. Lord, watch over them. Bless, O God, this work even in this autumn term. Lord, may we see the little ones not only gathered into this building, but saved by the precious blood of Christ. Remember us in this morning time together. We do ask thee for thy presence. We do pray, O God, and we remember thy word that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou hast promised to be there in the midst. O God, make thyself known this morning. Write thy word upon our hearts as we read it together, as we hear it preached. O God, that it will even stir within our hearts. The Spirit of God will be at work. Lord, remember us as we sing thy praises. O God, give us the ability to sing with full hearts, with rejoicing hearts, as we rejoice in what Christ has done for us. Lord, remember each one. Remember the families of this congregation. Lord, we think as well of the elderly. We think of those no longer able to join with us. O Lord, we are mindful of them. We pray for them. We pray that thou wilt be unto them all that they would need. We pray for the sake of our congregation. We pray, O God, for those even outside our congregation that are ill at this time. We remember thy servants that are laid aside. We do pray for the Reverend Smith, the Reverend Goods, Dr. Wilson, the Reverend Fitzsimons, the Reverend McLeod. Lord, that I will touch thy servants even at the very point of their need and raise them to full strength once again. O Lord, hear and answer our prayers this day. Be with us and bless us in this time that lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 115 we're going to read together this morning. Psalm 115. Certainly these opening verses, as I was looking last week at Psalm 114, my eye went over to Psalm 115. And of course, with the gospel mission that we've had, and even as it comes to an end this afternoon, how fitting these opening verses are. Even when we think of our gospel mission, as we give thanks to the Lord for it, we rejoice in everything that the Lord has done in it. The verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name I give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth have he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful psalm, even to stir our hearts as we give thanks to the Lord for his blessings, even throughout this week. And even further back, we can look and we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord has been gracious unto us. 591, I want to sing just before we come to the preaching of God's word. 5:91, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. 591, we'll stand again as we sing, please. Revelation chapter 21, I want to turn to now, please. The book of Revelation and the chapter 21. As we return again this morning to our series in the royalty of heaven. Just want to read the opening four verses of this chapter this morning. Revelation 21, verse 1. The Word of God says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Amen. May the Lord bless even that short reading to our hearts this morning. It's that little phrase at the end of the verse 1 we're going to consider together this morning. There was no more sea. There was no more sea. Entitled the message today, The Peace in Heaven. The Peace in Heaven. Let's have a moment's prayer, please. Father, we come to Thee, O God, even now. And Lord, we think of those words that we've just been singing. That for every child of God, there's coming a day when we shall see our Savior face to face. We do rejoice in this. We rejoice, O God, that the tomb or the grave, the coffin's not the end. But rather, it's simply the beginning. We do rejoice, O God, this day that each and every one that is saved, we've nothing to fear in death. For Thou art with us. And when we are absent from the body, we will be immediately present with the Lord. Oh, what a blessed thought, what a blessed hope we have in Christ. Lord, even now as we come again to consider that place called heaven, and as we look this morning even at this phrase, there's no more sea. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts. Encourage Thy people, even through Thy word. But Lord, speak, convict, convince, convert the sinner. Draw them unto Thyself. O God, help me, I pray Thee, fill me with Thy Spirit. Use me this day, touch my heart, touch my lips. Lord, bless the going forth of Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Revelation 21, those opening verses that we read together, brings us to that wonderful moment when the new heaven and the new earth is revealed. When that new Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven. And certainly as you consider that place called heaven with the great walls, the foundations, the gates of great pearl, certainly heaven you can say is a place of security. We looked the other week and we looked at that place called heaven and we mentioned the size of the walls and we read those verses. We mentioned about the beautiful foundations. We mentioned about how the gates are made out of pearl. My, what a secure place heaven will be. But heaven, even as you read these opening verses of chapter 21, not only is heaven a place of security, but we see that heaven is a place of serenity. Because within these opening verses, it speaks much of the peace that there will be in heaven. No, certainly, yes, you could say it's a place of security. You could say it's a place of great security. Because such is the safety that you will enjoy in heaven. That it tells us in verse 25 of Revelation 21 that the gates of it shall not be shut. There's no danger. There's nothing to worry about. There's no foe, there's no attacker, there's no enemy is going to come and storm the New Jerusalem. There's nothing to worry about the enemy coming in the gates. The gates will never be shut. Never by day. Of course, we know there is no night. And so you can say that heaven is a place of great security. But surely then you can say heaven is a place of great serenity. Because within these verses we've read and other verses within these last two chapters, it speaks about seven different no mores. We read this morning in verse 1, there's no more sea. In the verse 4, it tells us there's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. In the chapter 22, the verse 3, it tells us there's no more curse. The chapter 22, the verse 5, tells us there's no more night. Seven no mores are presented to us in this new heaven and new earth. Truly, it's a place of great calm. It's a place of great peace. And the first one, as I mentioned, we want to direct our attention to this morning. You find at the end of the verse 1, no more sea. Now you think for a moment of the sea. You think of the vastness of the sea that is in our earth. The waters of this earth cover 70% of the earth's surface. The majority of life upon this earth, and I looked all of these facts up, by the way, in case you think to yourself I'm a walking encyclopedia. The vast majority of life upon this earth is aquatic. It is believed that man has only explored 5% of the earth's oceans. Such is the size, such is the magnitude of all of the seas and all of the oceans, we haven't even barely touched the surface. So we can say there are many other different creatures within the sea we've no idea about. Indeed, there are times you hear in the news, if you watch the documentaries and those scientific programs, that they are finding new marine life within the seas. Such is the size and the magnitude of them. Another interesting fact is, and again it's not for me, it's from the great internet that it is, the greatest mountain range in the world is actually underwater. It's known as the Mid-Ocean Ridge, and it stretches for a distance of 65,000 kilometers underwater, and yet it has never been explored. Now you think of the magnitude, you think of the vastness of it, and yet we read in this opening verse at the end of it, and it's just, as it were, an add-on to the end of the verse 1, no more sea in the new heaven and the new earth. Why is that important to the believer? Why is that a sign of peace to the believer today? Well, you consider, and this is what we're going to do this morning, we're going to simply consider, what does the sea represent? What does the sea signify to us as individuals? And I trust even as we go through this morning, you will see and you will rejoice that there's no more sea in heaven. Now, I love the sea. When I take my holidays in the summer, regardless of if it's a good hot summer or not, I guarantee you I'm in the sea. Jumping off harbours and all the rest of it. It can be raining, it can be freezing cold, I'll still be in the sea. I love it. But there's coming a day, there's no more sea. And thank God there's no more sea. Because what does it signify? Why is there peace in heaven because there's no more sea? Well, firstly, sea signifies separation. Signifies separation. No longer in heaven will people and nations be divided. No longer in heaven will people and nations be separated one from the other by the great expanse of water. Now you think of that, and we've referenced those verses many times about how in heaven all of the kindreds, the tribes, the nations, the tongues are all represented. God has a chosen people out of every nation. God has a chosen people out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every nationality. There are believers will be gathered together, all part of the church of Jesus Christ, not separated anymore. Our brethren and sisters in Africa will not be separated from us by the water. Our brethren and sisters in Australia, North America, Eastern Europe, all of those places, you think of our little island, we're cut off from them all by the seas. But there's coming a day, there's no more separation. Because there's coming a day when there's no more sea. Chapter 21, the verse 26 of Revelation says, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. That's speaking of all of the nations being gathered together into the New Jerusalem. They're not traveling by boat. They're not coming and flying in the planes over all of the expanse of the oceans and all of the rest of it. They're all gathered together. They're all there in the New Jerusalem. All in united and all in unity together. Never again will we have to pray for the believers on the other side of the world. Never again will we gather and send off our missionaries and have sending forth services to send missionaries to the far-flung corners of the earth. For there's no more separation. For there's no more sea. It's a wonderful thought when you consider it. All of our brethren and sisters united together in the one place. All of the church of Jesus Christ brought together in the one family, in the one city, in the one place, worshiping the one Savior. There's no more separation. Not only is there no more separation, but secondly, I want you to see that no more sea signifies that there'll be no more storms. My, you think of how stormy the sea can become. You think of how whenever the wind whips round and the wind roars and the waves bash against the sides of ships. You think of how those ships are just cast up and down in the seas and they're just flung and they're the pearl of the great waves and the great wind. You think of the damage. You think of the danger. You think of how it makes people feel. Remember when I was a young boy, we were heading over to the mainland for our holidays. I can't remember if we're heading over or coming back. But we were in the Stena Line in May. It was just going up and down. Wave, sky, wave, sky. And I looked around and we were sitting eating our dinner. I'm having my sausage, chips and beans as a wee kid. The rest of my family couldn't eat it. They were lying with their head on the table. My dad, my sister, my brother, all of them sick as anything. So me and my mum, we just walked around the ship. Because we had our sausage and chips and everyone else. And everywhere you went, you're stepping over people lying on the floor. Storms. They couldn't do anything about it. And even the great boats, the great ships that go across our seas. And yet there's nothing they can do in the pearl of the sea. You think of the storms of your life. You think of how them storms come into your life. You think, believer, that this day of the great waves of adversity that come and seek to shake you. You think of the wind of opposition that comes and blows against you. And all of the anger and all of the hatred and all of the venom, even off the sea and off those storms, and yet there's coming a day you'll never be tossed about again. You'll never be shaken, you'll never be tossed from side to side, you'll never feel helpless in your faith again. You'll never feel as if you're at the peril of everything that's going on around you. You'll be safe. You remember the disciples, don't you, in the ships? No storms, the Lord put them into the ships and he said, right, cross over. And then the Lord went up into the mountain to pray. And there's the disciples, fishermen, men that knew the seas, men that knew what it was to be in the waters. And yet there they were in the midst of the storm and they're terrified. They're rowing and they're rowing and they're struggling and they're fighting against it. They're trying to get the boats and they're trying to get their vessel to land. They're just helpless. The waves are coming in over the top of the boat. All of the storms, all of the adversity, all of the struggles. My friend, you'll never experience it in heaven. You'll never have one storm upon your life again. You'll never have one time of great anguish in your life again. For there's no more sea in heaven. There's only peace. Your heart's never going to be flustered. Your heart's never going to be racing because of fear. It's peace. It's calm. You remember the mariners as well, whenever they left Joppa with Jonah on board. That great storm came up. Yes, the Lord sent that storm because Jonah was living in disobedience. And those mariners are out in the ship and it's all being tossed and the great waves, the great wind that's coming against it. What did it say of the mariners? They're filled with fear. They're filled with fear. Many believers at times in our lives are we filled with fear. You're fearful for your loved ones. You're fearful for your health. You're fearful for the health of your loved ones. And you're thinking to yourself and yours constantly and it's filling your mind and it's filling your heart and that's all that's upon you is the storms of life. But in heaven there's no more storms. Because there's no more sea. There's only peace. Not only is there no more storms in heaven, but another thing I think of when I consider the sea, I believe you can attach struggles. No more struggles in heaven. My, how often, as I mentioned, even with the storms, how often ships have struggled. Many times captains, sailors are contending with the great difficulties, the great struggles upon the sea. I mentioned Jonah just a moment ago and how that great storm came up in that ship. What does it tell us in Jonah 1, verse 13? That the men, the sailors of that boat, they rowed hard. They struggled against the water. They put all of their efforts, they put all of their strength, all of those oar men, they did all that they could. They struggled against the waters, and yet what did it tell us? They rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. They struggled and they struggled, but they failed. And how often in our lives, children of God, do we face great struggles, great fights? John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Struggles. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. What does it say in Ephesians 6:12? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not. In other words, we struggle not against them. We're fighting, we're wrestling, we're struggling throughout this life. 1 Peter 1:7, we've looked at it in our studies. What does it speak of? The trials of your faith. The struggles of your faith. You see, some individuals think whenever you become a Christian, my, it's just the easiest life. It's just walking and it's just blue sky sunshine. It's just walking through the beds of roses. Everything's so rosy, everything's so wonderful. Not once has God ever promised an easy life to a Christian. It's not an easy life. But my friend, it's the best life. And I'll go further than that. It's the only life. A life without Christ compared to a life with Christ. Tell me, which one's better? There's only one worth even talking about. It's a life with Christ. And yet all of the struggles that you have in your life, all of the trials, all of the tribulations, there's coming a day they're all going to cease. Every single struggle that you have, there's coming a day. Every single one of them is coming to an end. You'll have peace of mind. You'll have peace of body. You'll have peace of spirit. Nothing more will vex you or trouble you. Nothing more will weigh upon your mind and upon your heart. My, how often do we wake up in the morning and you spend your day worrying about loved ones? How often do you wake up in the morning and you're worrying about your own health and you're marking, as it were, yourself, and you're saying how hard, how difficult, how much pain you're in every day, and you're saying, oh, it's only getting worse, and it's just weighing down upon your mind, and you've all of these struggles, you've all of these concerns. Thank God in heaven you'll never have a gray hair. You'll never have a worry. You remember Jacob? I think of those words that Jacob said. Whenever the brethren came back from Egypt, the first time they came back, they'd left Simeon behind. They came back with that news, Father, next time we go down, we have to bring Benjamin. If we don't go back with Benjamin, then Simeon won't be released, and then we're not going to get food, and this man thinks we're spies. What did Jacob say? Then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. He had already believed he had lost Joseph forever. He believed now Simeon there, he's in Egypt, he's in prison. He says, if you take Benjamin, I'll lose him too. He says, you're bringing down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. My, nobody's going to talk like that in heaven. You'll never hear a murmur or a complaint in heaven. Nobody will ever sit down with you and sympathize to you over your struggles, because there'll never be a struggle in heaven, because there's no more sea. There's only peace. Another aspect of the sea that I want to highlight to you. No more sea in heaven. It means no more sin. No more sin. Isaiah 57. In verse 20 it says this, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. May you think of the mess that the sea can leave behind it. You walk along the beach, you walk along that shoreline after a storm, and you look at that beautiful sand, and it's all covered, what, in dirt and mire and muck and rubbish and seaweed and all of the things that the sea has cast up onto it. But there's coming a day when all the sea will be gone. And so too will all of our sins. Even as the verse, the final verse of chapter 21 tells us, there in verse 27, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Child of God, you think of that for just a moment. In heaven there's no sin. Not one. Not even what we categorize as wee small sins. There's not one sin in heaven. All of them are gone. Never to be seen again. Then I go further. You think of this. You remember the words of Micah 7, verse 19. It says, "Thou wilt cast all of their sins into the depths of the sea." Now you think of that for a moment. Child of God, when your sin is removed from you, what does it speak about? It speaks about how they're cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. They're removed, they're cast to the bottom of the ocean, they're never seen again. All of your sins which are covered in the precious blood of Christ, they're cast away into the depths of the sea. And then what does it say? That opening verse of Revelation 21, there's no more sea. So child of God, not only have your sins been removed from you, but then, as it were, that storage log or that cabinet, that place of storage, that your sins have been placed in the sea of God's forgetfulness, in heaven there's no more sea. Thank God, even the storage locker's cast away. That containing area of all of our sins, that place of the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's all gone. It's not even like someone could go and dig them up again. They'll never find anywhere to dig them up from. Doesn't that just bring a whole extra meaning even to those words in Romans 8, 20, or the verse 1, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus"? The devil, even now in your life, as you're saved, what does he seek to do? He tries to remind you of your past sins. He tries to remind you of what you were like before you were saved. He tries to throw it up of how you failed even in your Christian life. But my, there's coming a day the devil's cast into the lake of fire. All of the sins that have been cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness are gone, because even the sea's gone. There'll be no condemnation of God's people. No more sea. No more sin. But unsaved today, then, that gives you a great problem. Unsaved today, you need to see the urgency of your situation. Because if there's no sea in heaven, and as I said, it highlights there's no sin in heaven. If there's no sin in heaven, if you remain in your sins, you won't be in heaven. That's the reality of it. You cannot be in heaven if you remain in your sin. You cannot enjoy the peace of heaven if you remain in your sin. You cannot enjoy that serenity in heaven. You cannot enjoy the removal of all of your struggles, of all of the stresses, of all of the hardships, because you cannot be in heaven if you remain in your sin. See, to remain in your sin means you're weighed down with that burden of guilt, that load of sin. Thank God today burdens are lifted at Calvary. That great struggle, that great weighting down, that great load of sin that's upon you, you can be washed. You can be cleansed. That sin can be covered in the precious blood of Christ. You can be purged with hyssop and you'll be clean. You'll be washed and you'll be whiter than snow. That's the only way to enjoy heaven. No sea in heaven means no sin in heaven. And if you remain in your sin, you won't be in heaven. How urgent has it been even over these days? If you wanted a theme for this gospel mission night by night as the Reverend McRae has preached, what has it been? The contrast between death and life. The contrast between salvation and judgment. The contrast between remaining in your sin and having your sin dealt with by Christ. My, our brother couldn't have been any clearer throughout the week, could he? He has highlighted time and again that those that remain in their sin, they're heading to a Christless eternity. But those that come in repentance and faith, they're washed, they're cleansed, and they're given eternal life. My friend, this morning, see the urgency even of your situation. Heaven is a place of peace. Sin can't reside there, because that's the home of God. And no sin comes near God in heaven. No more sea. One final thing I want to highlight to you. No more sea means no more secrets. No more secrets. You know, before or below the surface of the water, there are many secrets. Now, you can go through a field and you think of it. You tramp through a field or you drive through a field, you'll leave your marks behind. Especially if that ground is soft, especially if that ground is wet, you're going through, you'll leave your footprints, you'll leave your tire tracks. My, you can just sail through the water. And how quickly as you look behind, that water just comes back. You've no idea anybody's been there. And you could go down to the sea and you could cast something into the sea. And my, everyone that looks upon the sea would have no idea you've cast anything into it. You know, it's believed that there are more valuables below the waters of this earth than there are in all of the museums. Indeed, it's believed that there are over 1,000 shipwrecks off the Florida Keys alone. And yet you could go there and you could think, my, Florida is just a wonderful place, sunshine and beaches. And yet there's 1,000 shipwrecks just off Florida Keys. But you wouldn't know. Because the sea has its secrets. But you know, as I said, there's coming a day there'll be no more sea. There's coming a day every secret will be revealed. The secrets of all of mankind. There's coming that day whenever the books will be opened and all will be revealed. The book of your life will be opened. Your innermost thoughts will be presented. Your innermost ideas, your innermost desires and lusts will be revealed. All of those secrets that you've kept to yourself, all of those secrets that you've been hiding, even from family, from friends, all of them are going to be revealed. All of them are going to be unearthed. Numbers 32:23 is a verse that's taught to so many children. I was learnt it and taught it myself. Be sure your sin will find you out. There's coming a day the sea will be gone. All of the secrets will be gone. Now I think of that day of judgment. I think of the Lord there in judgment day. You know, the sea gives up its final secret. Because what happens in judgment day is the Lord is upon the throne. He brings forth the dead. And that call will be issued to the seas. Give up your dead. Revelation 20, the verse 13, it tells us they give up the dead and in the seas no more. Every individual that's ever died or has been drowned at sea, so many of them we've no idea who. We hear about the odd great one over the years, and some have been made into films, some have been recorded in history. We've all learned about. We know the great wrecks. We know the great ones that have went down. We think, of course, of Titanic. We can think during the Second World War, the First World War, the different ships that went down. But how many thousands of others have drowned? We have no idea about them, and yet there's coming a day the Lord will issue the command, see, give up your dead. And every secret will be revealed from the depths of the sea, and then the sea is no more. Well, my friend, there's no secrets in heaven. You know, so many people seek to live in this earth a double life. So many people behave in one way on a Sunday and then they keep their life during the week. They live the opposite the rest of the week and they try and keep it a secret. They'll try and keep it away from the public eye. They'll try and keep it away from those in church. They'll try and keep it away from the preacher. And they'll just act in one way on a Sunday and then the rest of the week they're just living. And it's a complete secret. No one knows about it. God knows about it all. God knows about it all. And it's all going to be revealed. Because in heaven there's no secrets. Because there's no more sea. There's only peace. There's only joy. My friend, this morning, as I've highlighted, there's so much to look forward to in heaven. There's so much joy. There's so much happiness. There's so much worship. There's so much adoration. There's so much love. There's so much excitement for the child of God. We're going to see our Savior face to face. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be like Him. And all of the cares, all of the concerns of life for the child of God, all of the burdens that weigh us down, they're all gone. There's only peace. But unsaved this morning, what about you? See, the child of God today, we can look forward to the peace that Christ speaks about. That peace, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. We can look forward even to that peace that passeth all understanding in a greater measure than we've ever experienced peace before. But do you remember the difference? Do you remember the difference that the rich man in hell experienced? We spoke all morning about the peace in heaven. What we can learn even from those words, there's no more sea, and how it brings us peace. But you remember the unsaved man in hell? He lifts up his eyes in torments. And he says, I am tormented in the flame. There's peace in heaven. There's torment in hell. There's Christ in heaven. In hell, you're on your own. Lost. Without hope. Oh, my friend, today, if you're still in your sins, oh, that you would see. You would see the peace that Christ alone can give. Thank God in heaven there is no sin. Thank God in heaven there's no stress, there's no struggles, there's no separation. Thank God in heaven we're with our Savior. But are you ready? Are you looking forward to that day when you'll see Him face to face? Oh, my friend, if you're not ready today, now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come to Him today. You'll have peace. Thank God, peace that only Christ can give. And then you'll be ready. You'll be ready to go to that land that is fairer than day. That land of eternal peace. That land of eternal presence with Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, we thank Thee, O God, even for those words, that there's no more sea. We thank and praise Thee that all of the anguishes, all of the burdens of life, that one day we will cast them from us. One day we'll never experience them again. For the child of God, there's no struggles in heaven. There's no stress in heaven. There's no sorrow or sadness. But, O God, even this day we pray Thee for those that have heard Thy word that are not saved. O Lord, that Thou wilt drive it home to their hearts even now, that there is no sin in heaven. Lord, we pray for each one that is still in their sin, that Thou wilt have mercy upon them, that Thou wilt save their precious soul. O Father, bring them unto Thyself, we pray. Convict them of their sin. And oh, this day may they turn from it. May they believe in Thee. Lord, remember us now, we pray Thee, as we go from this house. We do pray for this afternoon. We leave it with Thee, O God. We pray that Thou wilt work in hearts throughout this afternoon and give them a desire to be under the sound of Thy word. Know that this final meeting of our mission will be blessed and will be sealed with the salvation of souls. In Jesus' name, amen.